أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله الحسين، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم. Assalamu alaikum, dear esteemed mourners of the son of Lady Fatima Zahra. Assalamu alaikum, dear esteemed mourners of the son of Amirul Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear esteemed mourners of the Messenger of Allah, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, dear sons and daughters of the Husseini revolution. We are here commemorating the martyrdom and the mission of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in an 8-night SOQ Muharram special. Our theme, Imam Hussein's revolution. Let's perfume this global gathering with the recitation of the Holy Quran. وَصَلُّوا عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِ مُحَمَّدٍ.
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ. يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى، ما ودعك ربك وما قلى، وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى، ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى. ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى، ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث صدق الله العلي العظيم.
جزاك الله خير وعافية طيب الله أنفاسكم. The current and most unfortunate COVID situation has compelled us to go with an online venue this year for the first 8 nights of the month of Muharram. Now you know, dear brothers and sisters, that nothing can stop the message and the mission and the memory of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And so out of our 8-night program, 6 nights have already passed. There are only 2 more nights left. These honorable days and nights of Muharram fly by so quickly, and how we wish from the depths of our hearts and our souls that it was once again the first of Muharram. But alas. The founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini, says that the month of Muharram is the month of the great movement of the Master of Martyrs. It is the month of the great movement of the Master of the Pious, who by his uprising against the Taghut taught us how to be victorious and taught us how to build. And also, Imam Khomeini says that this movement of Imam Hussein also taught us how to annihilate cruelty and to annihilate despots through the offering of lives and the making of sacrifices. We are now going to listen to a Ziyarat-e-Ashura with another Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله السلام عليك يا خيرة الله وابن خيرته السلام عليك يا ابن أمير المؤمنين وابن سيد الوصيين السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة سيدة نساء العالمين السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثاره والوتر الموتور السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار يا أبا عبد الله لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت وعظمت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل الإسلام وجلت وعظمت مصيبتك في السماوات على جميع أهل السماوات فلعن الله أمة أسست أساس الظلم والجور عليكم أهل البيت ولعن الله أمة دفعتكم عن مقامكم وأزالتكم عن مراتبكم التي رتبكم الله فيها ولعن الله أمة قتلتكم ولعن الله الممهدين لهم بالتمكين من قتالكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم ومن أشياعهم وأتباعهم وأوليائهم. يا أبا عبد الله، إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. ولعن الله آل زياد وآل مروان، ولعن الله بني أمية قاطبة، ولعن الله ابن مرجانة، ولعن الله عمر ابن سعد، ولعن الله شمرا، ولعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتنقبت لقتالك. بأبي أنت وأمي لقد عظم مصامي بك، فأسأل الله الذي أكرم مقامك وأكرمني بك أن يرزقني طلب ثارك مع إمام منصور من أهل بيت محمد صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم اجعلني عندك وجيها بالحسين عليه السلام في الدنيا والآخرة. يا أبا عبد الله، إني أتغرب إلى الله وإلى رسوله وإلى أمير المؤمنين وإلى فاطمة وإلى الحسن وإليك بمضالاتك وبالبراءة ممن قاتلك ونسب لك الحرب، وبالبراءة ممن أسس أساس الظلم والجور عليكم، وأبرأ إلى الله وإلى رسوله ممن أسس أساس ذلك وبنى عليه بنيانه وجرى في ظلمه وجوره عليكم وعلى أشيائكم. برئت إلى الله وإليكم منهم، وتغرب إلى الله ثم إليكم بمضالاتكم ومضالات وليكم، وبالبراءة من أعدائكم والناصبين لكم الحرب، وبالبراءة من أشيائهم وأتباعهم. إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم وولي لمن والاكم وعدو لمن عاداكم. فأسأل الله الذي أكرمني بمعرفتكم ومعرفة أوليائكم ورزقني البراءة من أعدائكم أن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة، وأن يثبتني عندكم قدم صدق في الدنيا والآخرة. وأسأله أن يبلغني المقام المحمود لكم عند الله، وأن يرزقني طلب ثاري مع إمام هدى ظاهر ناطق بالحق منكم. وأسأل الله بحقكم وبالشأن الذي لكم عنده أن يعطيني بمصابي بكم أفضل ما يعطي مصابا بمصيبته، مصيبة ما أعظمها وأعظم رزيتها في الإسلام وفي جميع السماوات والأرض. اللهم اجعلني في مقامي هذا ممن تناله منك صلوات ورحمة ومغفرة. اللهم اجعل محياي محيا محمد وآل محمد، ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد. اللهم إن هذا يوم تبركت به بنو أمية وابن آكلة الأكباد اللعين ابن اللعين على لسانك ولسان نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله في كل موطن وموقف وقف فيه نبيك صلى الله عليه وآله. اللهم لعن أبا سفيان ومعاوية ويزيد ابن معاوية عليهم منك اللعنة أبد العابدين. وهذا يوم فرحت به آل زياد وآل مرهاد بقتلهم الحسين صلوات الله عليه. اللهم فضاعف عليهم اللعن منك والعذاب الأليم. اللهم إني أتقرب إليك في هذا اليوم وفي موقفي هذا وأيام حياتي بالبراءة منهم واللعنة عليهم وبالمبالاة لنبيك وآل نبيك عليه وعليهم السلام. اللهم لعن أول ظالم ظلم حق محمد وآل محمد وآخر تابع له على ذلك. اللهم لعن العصابة التي جاهدت الحسين وشايعت وبايعت وتابعت على قتله. اللهم لعنهم جميعا. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. اللهم خص أنت أول ظالم باللعن مني وابدأ به أولا ثم العن الثانية والثالثة والرابع. اللهم العن يزيد خامسا والعن عبيد الله بن زياد وابن مرجان وعمر بن سعد وشمرا وآل أبي سفيان وآل زياد وآل مروان إلى يوم القيامة. اللهم لك الحمد حمد الشاكرين لك على مصابهم. الحمد لله على عظيم رزيتي. اللهم ارزقني شفاعة الحسين يوم الورود وثبتني قدم صدق عندك مع الحسين وأصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا نهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام.
جزاك الله خير وعافية. طيب الله أنفاسكم. The leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, says, "This love for Hussein ibn Ali is an extraordinary matter. We do not know of similar events anywhere in the world and at any time in the world." And Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei says that I hope that Allah the Exalted will make you and will make I have more of this love in our hearts. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali. And now we humbly invite our guest speaker, our brother, Sheikh Ali Qummi from Pakistan, to address the believers for tonight's SOQ Muharram special with a loud Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah al-Ali al-Azim. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله آل الله لا سيما بقية الله ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أعداء الله من يومنا هذا إلى لقاء الله أما بعد فقد قال الله يا ليتني كنت معهم فأفوز فوزا عظيما صلوات اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرجهم. So what have we established so far? In yesterday's majlis, we spoke about the two major approaches. The two major approaches towards Karbala, we said, and we called it the historic approach versus the holistic approach. We also said the historic approach is the traditional approach. This is something we grew up with. Generally speaking, throughout the world, the believers grew up with the traditional approach. Then the holistic approach, we said, the holistic approach is all-encompassing approach. This includes the historic traditional narrative as well as some other ingredients that are essential for us to be able to understand Karbala. The question we raised yesterday was, how can we be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the true sense of the word? Is it even possible to be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the true sense of the word? And we said that the only solution or the only approach that can answer this question is the holistic approach. If somebody has that holistic outlook on Karbala, that person can be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam even today. This means that anyone who wishes to be with Imam Hussein alayhi salam cannot settle with the annual mourning ritual ceremonies and gatherings only. For the historic approach, there is a climax that we see every year. Since we were, you know, kids, up until now, we've been seeing that there is a certain trajectory. The climax of the historic approach is reached on the day of Ashura. On the day of Ashura, we see that the flocks of people from all over the world, in all corners of the world, they gather together, the believers, the mu'mineen, the respected devout believers, the lovers of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, not just Shias. This is another misconception that people have in their minds. Even Sunnis, even Christians, even Hindus, they gather to recall the incident of Ashura, what happened on the plains of Karbala. So that day, the day of Ashura, is the climax of this approach, which is again the historic approach. After Ashura, what happens? It starts to fade away gradually. We see that on 11th of Muharram, there are less people participating in majalis, in lectures, in any sort of Muharram-related activities. Then on the 12th of Muharram, even fewer people. On the 13th of Muharram, and then so on and so forth. We see that this participation in the Muharram-related rituals, it starts to fade away. Then we see another peak around the time of Arba'een, the 40th of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. People start to travel towards Karbala. People start to go to the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam to pay allegiance to Imam. And this, right after Arba'een, what you see is that everything is as if it came to a halt. You know, the wait for the next year starts and life goes back to normal. This is what the historic approach. If somebody goes towards Karbala, if somebody tries to relate himself to Karbala through this approach, the historic approach, then this is the time around Arba'een or right after when the life goes back to normal and the wait for the next year begins. Now let's compare this to the holistic approach. The holistic approach is not something confined to only these days. Yes, these days are of utmost importance, but the holistic approach is a year-long struggle. It's not the wait for the next year. It's a year-long struggle. I would even go to a point where I can say safely that it's a lifelong struggle. It's not just 1 year. It's not just 2 years. It requires one to walk on the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now this is something entirely different. Walking on the path of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Practically walking on that path. Well, someone can say, it's very difficult. Yes, it is difficult. Someone may just say and come around and say, oh, well, giving sacrifice, you know, it's not something I signed up for. Giving sacrifice is difficult. Giving sacrifice for Islam is difficult. Giving sacrifice for humanity is different and difficult. Giving sacrifice to uphold the values of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the principles of Islam is difficult. Giving sacrifice for the other oppressed people around the globe to defend their rights is difficult. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you very clearly and bluntly, yes, it is difficult. And yes, it is supposed to be difficult. Who told you that being Husseini is something easy? If you expect that becoming Husseini, in the true sense of the word, is easy, then somebody misinformed you. Or you didn't think through the repercussions of being Husseini. Yes, it is difficult, and it is supposed to be difficult. And that's why there is so much reward for it. It is not supposed to be easy. We all know we can never give back to Islam what Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave. We don't have any of that. We don't have our Ali Akbar. We don't have our Asghar. We don't have our Qasim. We don't have our Abbas. We know nobody in the world can give what Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave to Islam. But if we wish to be Husseini, we know that this is what it takes. Sacrifice. Sacrifice is what is required to be a Husseini. Now somebody may just disagree with me. They'd be like, well, this interpretation of yours, when it comes to Karbala, when it comes to Muharram, when it comes to Ashura, this interpretation does not make sense. It is just your opinion of it. Somebody can just come around and say that. Well, to someone like that, we would say that while there are many proofs to back what I just said, Let me just quote one quotation and a statement from Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, "Mithli, la yubayyu mithla." It translates to, someone like me, anyone like me, someone who claims to follow my path, would never pledge allegiance to someone like him. Him who? Yazid. So what is Imam Hussein alayhi salam essentially saying here? How does this statement of Imam, the hadith of Imam, apply to me today? Well, that Yazid of 61 Hijra is dead. So Imam alayhi salam is saying, someone like me. This means whoever claims to be Husseini, whoever claims to be walking this divine path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will never pledge allegiance to someone who is a tyrant like Yazid, who is an oppressor like Yazid. The next question that comes to our mind is, what shall I do then? What is my responsibility? Well, for that, we have to understand that Imam Hussein alayhi salam launched a movement with his own blood, with the blood of his family, with the blood of his companions. This revolution and this movement that Imam launched, it needs to be continued. And alhamdulillah, in today's time and age, we see that it still continues. It is more vibrant than ever before. Now, what is my role in all this? Where do I plug into this whole equation? And for this, we have to understand what the movement of Imam Sayyid al-Shuhada alayhi salam was. What did he launch? Before we get into the discussion about the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, let's discuss or let's define what a movement is. Well, the dictionary definition of a movement is an organized group of people who work together to achieve or oppose something. That's called a movement. We see movements all over in the world, like the political movements, the social movements, the human rights movements, so on and so forth. A movement is a group of organized people. Now, in this case, when we talk about the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who are those organized people? Well, naturally, it's the Shias of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and none else. When you say that you are the Shia of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, you're saying that I subscribe to this movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I sign up for this revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And I'm going to work towards the defined goals of this movement. This is what it means to join the caravan of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what it means to be part of the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Let's real quick talk about the movement itself. What was the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam? Brothers and sisters, the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is not to go with the flow. It is not to be okay with the status quo. It is not giving in to the given situation. It is not giving up the struggle against injustice and oppression. It is not any of them. Then what is it? The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is a continuous struggle to create a positive change in the human society. This is what Imam Hussein alayhi salam launched. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to reform human society. And all of these things are in the ahadith that we are just saying here, and we don't have time to quote every single line. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to revolutionize human society. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is an uprising against oppression, injustice, and tyranny. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to establish the domination of monotheism in all aspects of our individual lives and the collective life of human society. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is to unite the world of Islam against the world of kufr and nifaq. The movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the kickstart for the building of the new Islamic civilization. This is what the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is. Now we are thinking, you know, what about those people who are indifferent and unconcerned about what goes on around in the world, in the society, in different countries, in different places? Brothers and sisters, this is nothing new. One of the issues that we have is that we are not aware of the history of the Imams. We don't know the phases that they went through, how they were dealt with, how people treated them. You'd be surprised to hear this, that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, many people came to Imam to advise the Imam. They came to advise Imam. Imam, do this. Imam, don't do this. Imam, do it like this. Imam, do. You don't advise an Imam. You submit to an Imam. You follow an Imam. Unfortunately, there are characters in the history who came up with different pieces of advice for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. You know, do this, don't do this, do it like this, or don't do it like this. So for instance, let me take some names, you know, to make it more relevant. You know, Hazrat Muhammad Hanafiya. He came to Imam Hussein alayhi salam and he said that from Kaaba, first of all, you know, take refuge in Kaaba, he said. If that is not possible for you, to save your life, to save your family, to save your companions, go to Yemen and take refuge there. Just hide there. And he said, if you can't take a refuge in Yemen, then go and hide in caves. Why? Because Yazid is thirsty for your blood right now. He is thirsty for your head right now. He has already passed the orders, either Hussein's allegiance or his head. So out of all sincerity, Muhammad Hanafiya, he comes and he says, Imam, do this, do this, do this, do this. Abdullah ibn Abbas, another name. Abdullah ibn Umar, another name. Abdullah ibn Zubair, another name. They all came. And by the way, if you look through the books of history and you speak with the ulama, our teacher was saying that they were the fuqaha of that time. They were not ordinary people. They were not just, you know, shopkeepers and taxi drivers and, you know, ordinary people who are walking around. No. They were known as the fuqaha of the time, the learned people who knew Islam. They came to Imam Hussein ibn Ali and gave him similar advices. Pieces of advice. Do this, don't do this. Just the gist of it was, Hussein ibn Ali, save your life. There's no need for confrontation with the enemy. And now look at the response of Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam. In response to all of these pieces of advice, the Imam said, "Uffin lihadha al-kalam," that these words of yours, I separate myself from them. He condemned these words. He said that these words are condemnable. These words of yours, these plans of yours, you think you're smart? These are my words, of course. Imam said, you're telling me to go and hide because the oppressor is too ruthless, because the oppressor is too powerful. Imam said, "Uffin lihadha al-kalam." These statements of yours. Brothers and sisters, for Husseinis, staying indifferent, staying unconcerned, And staying passive is not an option. This is something we all have to memorize. Anybody who claims to be a Husseini, these things are off the table. They're not an option. We know about this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he said, "Man asbaha wa lam yahtamma bi umur al-muslimin falaysa bi muslim." Falaysa bi muslim. That somebody who's not concerned about the affairs of the Muslims is not a Muslim. Do you think somebody who is indifferent and unconcerned and passive, by any means they're concerned? This is how you are when you get concerned about your everyday life issues, your bank accounts, for instance, your jobs, for instance. No, something you're concerned about, like your family, you make sure that your concern materializes into practical actions. You do something about it before you lose your job. You do something about it before your bank account gets frozen. You do something about it to bring food for your family. You act. And Prophet is saying that somebody who's not concerned about the affairs of the Muslims is not a Muslim. Unfortunately, one of the phenomena and dilemmas we face in the West right now is that somehow, at least some of us, we have convinced ourselves that I am concerned. I do pray for them. You know, there's something in my heart. Well, while it is good, and I'm saying that it is good, even if it is at that level, don't let it go. But honestly, this is how you express your concern. Just by, you know, having this feeling in my heart is enough, you know. This is something for all of us to think. Expressing our concerns, just the way we do in our everyday lives. At least give the affairs of the Muslims that much importance in your life that you give other trivial matters, other personal matters in your life. Look at Yemen. 7 years, Yemenis are being bombed. Are you concerned? Really? So if your family, God forbid, if my family was being bombed, mercilessly killed, of course that would make me concerned. Would I react the way I react about Yemenis? Would my concern be only at the level of, oh, I feel sorry for them, I pray for them? No, at that time I would expect the entire world to stand up for the rights of my family, for my kids. Well, guess what? They're going to stand, just pray for your family at that point. God forbid, or my family. It doesn't matter. Our concern has to be expressed and shown. Look at Palestine. You know, our debates are whether we should go to Al-Quds rally or not. Really? This is how we show that we are concerned about what is happening in Palestine. Yemenis are being killed by the Saudis, and the Palestinians are being killed by the Zionists. And this is how we show our concern? Should we just go to a rally or not? Should we go to a program or not? Should we, you know, I don't know, do something, write a piece of poetry or not? The concern has to be expressed at a higher level. This intensity and the sensitivity has to go up. Look at Iraq. Look at Syria. Look at Nigeria. Look at Afghanistan, Myanmar, Pakistan, Kashmir, Lebanon. Look at the attacks that are made and being made on the Islamic Republic of Iran. Are we concerned about the affairs of the Muslims or not? Because Imam Hussein alayhi salam was surely concerned about the affairs of Muslims. And we know that. It is not a new piece of information. Brothers and sisters, those people who choose to stay indifferent, those people who choose to stay confused or act confused, the least that can be said about those people is that they're heartless and shameless people. We have the information today through the news what is happening in Muslim countries and Muslim lands. Those people are, to say the least, heartless and shameless people. The speakers and scholars who don't like to leave their comfort zone and the mode of convenience. They have to be answerable on the Day of Judgment. It is not that simple. The coward and selfish governments. Where are these Arab governments? Where are other Muslim governments when it comes to the affairs of the Muslims? Why do we see the Islamic Republic to be the only one standing tall against the system of oppression? Why? This is a question. These governments are not fulfilling their responsibilities. They don't have the right to rule over Muslims if they're not going to fulfill their responsibility of being concerned about the affairs of Muslims. Brothers and sisters, the question is, for all those who are silent out there, silent against oppression, silent against tyranny, there's a question for them. Generally speaking, isn't silence a form of agreement? Isn't silence a proof of being an accomplice? Doesn't silence against oppression bring about disgrace? Did Imam Hussein alayhi salam not say, "Hayhat minna zilla"? Did he not say that disgrace and humiliation is far from us? How can we choose to stay silent in the face of oppression? How can we just ignore and turn a blind eye towards the oppressed of the world and still call ourselves Husseini? There's something wrong here. Another very interesting rationale and logic some people bring up is that what you say makes sense. Okay, we agree it makes sense. But, brother, there's a price to pay for speaking up and resisting against the oppressors. That's what their excuse is. Really? That's what your excuse is. That there's a price to pay. Hence, I'm going to choose to stay silent and indifferent and unconcerned. Is that what your excuse is? First of all, ask yourself, is this excuse something that you can put in front of Imam Hussein alayhi salam on the Day of Judgment and say, because of the risks and because of the cost of resisting the oppression, I chose to stay silent and not resist. Good luck with that. Brothers and sisters, it is not simple to commemorate Imam Hussein alayhi salam's martyrdom and all those sacrifices, and then at the end, choose to stay silent when it comes to the oppression in our time. It is not something simple. But this question that we just raised, you know, the price to pay. The leader of the Islamic Ummah, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has answered this already. And I'm going to read it for you real quick. Imam Khamenei says, some think that it is logical, but they are mistaken. They say that challenging global powers has a cost. Then Imam Khamenei says, he continues, very well, yes, challenging global powers has costs, but compromising also has costs. Then he continues, if challenging global powers is logical, if it is in accordance with reason, if it is along with self-confidence, its costs are manifold lesser than the costs of compromise. Brothers and sisters, yes, we do have to pay the price for being on the path of haq, truth, and righteousness. You know, somehow we have concluded that we can be on the path of righteousness and truth and haq, but without paying a price, without giving any sacrifice. The taghut of our time, the oppressor of our time, the enemies of Islam and humanity that are in our time, they are happy with us, and at the same time we can make the heart of Imam Zaman alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam happy too. These two things cannot add up. And this is where we have to pay attention. Imam Khomeini Rizwanullah ta'ala alayhi, he said, those who say to us, compromise with the enemy, they are either ignorant or employees of the enemy. This is verbatim what Imam Khomeini said. Brothers and sisters, are we scared of sacrifices? Because this is what it comes down to, right? How can we claim to be the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and be scared of giving sacrifices for Allah's religion, for righteousness, for humanity, for human principles, for human dignity? How can we say that Imam Hussein alayhi salam is our Imam and be scared of the enemy? Our Imam was not scared. How can the followers be scared? Were the Imams preaching bravery against the enemy or spreading the fear of the enemy? Ask yourself this question based on the knowledge you have of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Look at their ahadith. Were they making people afraid of the enemy and the might of the enemy and the strength of the enemy and the power of the enemy and the resources of the enemy? Or on the contrary, the Imams were trying to free up humanity from the clutches of the oppressors, taking that fear out of their hearts. So if today someone who's wearing the libas of Prophet and is pretending to be a scholar, one of the attributes that you have to see and observe is whether he's making you afraid of the enemy or he's making you brave against the enemy. Our Imams taught us intelligence with bravery, not with cowardice. We're going to be strategic, but with bravery in a revolutionary manner, not with cowardice. This is something that we have to keep in mind. Imam Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salam said to Hazrat Muslim bin Aqil, he said, I swear I will not abandon this path. Look at the commitment of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. I'm reading you his statement verbatim. He said, I swear I will not abandon this path. Either I will see the walls of Mecca or will get martyred right here. See, once you know the path of righteousness, and this is what Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam taught us. This is what these lectures and majalis are for. So we see what our Imams have taught us, what they want from us. Once you know the path of truth and righteousness and haq, from there on, your commitment has to be like the commitment of Hussein alayhi salam. And we know nobody can reach that level of commitment. But this is what the target is. This is what the goal is. This is what the hadaf is. Imam says that to Banu Hashim, he wrote one liner. He said, come join me. Know that if you join me, you will be martyred. And if you don't join me, you won't ever see peace. This is Hussein ibn Ali. This is our Mawla, this is our master. We know that this path is full of difficulties, But O Imam Hussein alayhi salam, we are your followers. Please give us strength to face these difficulties rather than escaping from these difficulties. Please take this fear of the world, fear of the oppressors, out of our hearts, just the way Allah took fear of the oppressors out of your heart. It never existed from day one. And this is not only for Imam Hussein alayhi salam, this is for all of our infallible imams. The fear of the tyrants did not exist. The imams did not allow the fear of the tyrants to exist in their heart, even in a small little proportion. And we see today that the followers of imams, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, they had no fear of this world either. Look at Imam Khomeini. How easy would have it been for Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah ta'ala alayh, to just compromise with the Shah, the oppressor of the time, the tyrant of the time? He wouldn't have been exiled. Other scholars existed in Iran. It was not like, you know, other scholars did not exist. Imam Khomeini, on the other hand, chose to not compromise. While he was alone, don't think that all of these millions that you see today with the revolution, with Imam Khomeini, with Imam Khamenei, with the Islamic resistance, they existed back in the day. No, Imam Khomeini was alone. This is what they learn from Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the Imam of dignity. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the Imam of respect. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the Imam of rights. The rights for the oppressed, the rights for the innocents. And this is the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Anybody who joins this movement is bound to face difficulties. Anybody who chooses to be on this path and join this movement is bound to give sacrifices. This is what we learn from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This is what our driving force is. This is what the holistic approach towards Karbala. This is what the holistic approach towards Muharram and Ashura bring to us. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Today, a Muslim son of a Muslim father is going to be martyred. Who is that Muslim son? The Muslim son is Qasim. Why did I say Muslim father? It's the father of Qasim. His name is Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Why is he Muslim? Oh, the mourners of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hassan is the only Imam whose body was brought back, whose funeral was brought back. His was the only janazah that left and came back. Ya Hassan al-Mazloom. There's only one difference. His janazah, his funeral, went with a white kafan. But when it came back, the shroud, the kafan was red. Imam Hassan alayhi salam is oppressed. There are arrows in his body when it comes back. Today we want to do the masaib of Qasim bin Hassan.
Hazrat Qasim was sitting in a gathering in Karbala with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was telling every single one of the companions and Banu Hashim that you are going to be martyred tomorrow. Imam was telling them, this is how you're going to be martyred. You're going to be hit by a spear. You're going to be hit by a sword. Imam gathered all of them and extinguished the lamp. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, you have come this far with me. You are the best of the companions. Nobody is more loyal to Islam and to Hussein ibn Ali than you. You can go back. Our Imam Gharibul Ghuraba, he's telling his companions, a handful of companions, that if they choose and if they want, they can go back. And Imam said that maybe you feel ashamed of leaving while you're sitting in front of me. I'm going to turn off this lamp. I, Hussein ibn Ali, give you the guarantee of your Jannah. I give you the guarantee of your paradise. Imam showed them their maqam in paradise. This is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to be. Oh, Anu Muhammad, this is where you're going to be. Abbas, this is where you're going to be. Imam kept going. Imam kept saying, nobody left this Imam. Well, it is really strange. When you take the responsibility, being an Imam, when you take the responsibility from the shoulders of these companions, why do they not leave? Brothers and sisters, this is where the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam were special. They don't leave probably because they knew that if they left, Imam Hussein alayhi salam would be alone. They didn't want to leave the Imam of their time alone. They didn't want the Imam to suffer alone. They wanted to be there. All the while they knew that in the end, the Imam is going to be left alone. Yet they were not ready to turn their back on Imam Hussein alayhi salam, or the mourners of Imam Hussein, or the mourners of the Shuhada of Karbala. How can we turn our back on Imams? How can we turn our back on the Imam of the time? According to traditions, when we sin, it's as if we are turning our back towards the Imam, towards the Prophet, towards Allah. When Imam was telling his companions that you're going to be martyred tomorrow, you're going to be martyred tomorrow, you're going to be martyred, Hazrat Qasim was sitting in a corner. He waited for his name, but Imam Hussein alayhi salam did not take his name. Hazrat Qasim got concerned. He thought there's something wrong. He comes to the Imam, respectfully he says, oh Imam, you did not take my name. You did not inform me of my shahada. You did not inform me of my jihad. You did not say my name. Is it because I'm an orphan? He respectfully questioned from Imam. Remember, he's the son of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, who was martyred at the hands of the hypocrites. He says, Imam, is it because I'm an orphan? That's why you did not take my name, or is there some other reason, some other hikmah? Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked Qasim this question. He said, Kaiful mawtu indak? How is death in your eyes? Just imagine, Imam is asking his nephew, who reminds him of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, he's asking him this question. Brothers and sisters, Hazrat Qasim alayhi salam responded. He said, if death is to be sacrificed for you, then ahla min al asal. Look at the basirat of this son of Hassan alayhi salam. Look at this son of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. He said, if this death is to be sacrificed for you, O Hussein, then it is sweeter than honey. This is how ready they were to sacrifice. Brothers and sisters, what are we thinking? Where is our readiness? Are we prepared? Just know this son of Hassan, this nephew of Hussein, Qasim alayhi salam, how old is he when this is happening? He's only 13. Look what he's concerned about. Look his concerns. Just imagine, just think. Look at his mindset. Look how prepared and ready he is to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. السلام عليك وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني جميعا سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. He says, if death is to be sacrificed for you, أحلى من العسل, it's sweeter than honey. Imam said, oh Qasim, don't worry, you are going to be shaheed tomorrow as well. And he said, Ali Asghar is going to be shaheed as well. Imagine telling a 13-year-old Qasim ibn Hassan that he's going to be martyred tomorrow. On the day of Ashura, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asked Hazrat Abbas to prepare Qasim. Qasim kept going back and forth to Imam, asking for permission for jihad to fight the tyrants and oppressors and send them to hell. It's a 13-year-old boy, according to some narrations. Imam finally tells Hazrat Abbas, I don't know what Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to go through before he let Qasim go to the battlefield. Just think about it, how difficult it would be for Imam Hussein. Imam said, O Abbas, prepare Qasim for jihad, to go to the battlefield. Hazrat Abbas put on the body armor for Hazrat Qasim. All the body armors were big to his size. He was a 13-year-old boy. Hazrat Abbas finally get him dressed and helped him get onto the horse. Hazrat Qasim went to the battlefield like a man, like a brave son of Hassan. He went to the battlefield and read the rajas. And then he attacked the enemy. This brave son of the brave father attack the enemy like a lion. After a while of fighting and sending, inshallah, some of the enemies of Allah, enemies of Islam, to hell, there reached a time where Hazrat Qasim fell off the horse. Imam Hassan, if he were to see the fight of Qasim, would have been proud. Imam Hussein alayhi salam went and brought back the body of Hazrat Qasim and asked Hazrat Rabab to look at it. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْكَلِبٍ يَنْكَلِبُونَ. Soon will the wrongdoers know the end that they shall reach. Ya Allah, guide us to be prepared for the reappearance of Imam Mahdi. Ya Allah, hasten the reappearance of Imam Al-Qa'im, who will fill this earth with justice and equity, just the way it is filled with oppression and tyranny. Ya Allah, enable us to relieve the oppressed from the oppression of the oppressors. Ya Allah, give long life to the sincere scholars, our teachers, fuqaha, and especially to the leader, Imam Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Ya Allah, protect the system of Wilayatul Faqih. Ya Allah, strengthen the Islamic Republic. Ya Allah, protect the defenders of Islam and the defenders of the shrines. Ya Allah, free the believers from the unjust imprisonment of the kuffar. Ya Allah, give shifa to the sick. Rabbana taqabbal minna, innaka anta sami'ul alim.
Jazakallah khair wa afiyah. Tayyiballah anfasakum. We end our humble morning ceremony with Enoha. Fi amanillah. And may Allah accept all of your condolences.
لبيك يا حسين لبيك يا حسين يا حسين
حالا که ما تو حسرتیم نمیشه تا حرم بیای ممسا نمیذاریم که اربعین بیاد و بگذره به این منوال به شوق تو قلب ماست همون حضور و حس و شور و حال با همون حضور و شور برات گریه میکنیم حسین با همون حضور و شور برات گریه میکنیم حسین از همین مسیر دور برات گریه میکنیم حسین ما به نیت ظهور برات گریه میکنیم حسین از همین مسیر دور برات حسین ایشالله سال بعد کربلاییم ایشالله که با مهدی میاییم ایشالله سال بعد کربلاییم ایشالله که با مهدی میاییم ایشالله سال دیگه تو جمع زائراییم ای شهید تشنه لب عزیز فاطمه ای شهید تشنه لب
سوست دلیرم وسطه
حسین آدی حسین یادی برفت پرورش مرد میدان با شور میز با عشق میز اولوب جهان چین با جنلان با اربعین
حماسه تمام عالم سالب توفان شرق و غرب عالمی قرار پرچم آلار حسین شرق و غرب عالمی قرار پرچم آلار حسین شیهنن باشه جده بویل دا جنگ آلار حسین کربلا یا یل سالا جلکیم قیور آلار حسین شرق و غرب عالمی قرار اگر یازن سابون دفع آدیم مسیر اربعین اولار جهادیم پیاده گلسم اونسام و حفظ اعتقادیم هی شهید تشنه لب عزیز فاطمه هی شهید تشنه لب
فاطمه
تمہارا نام لبو پہ ہے نفس نفس گھڑی گھڑی مولا تمہارے ہی سہارے تو گزر رہی ہے زندگی مولا گناہگاروں پہ ذرا نگاہ کیجئے ابھی مولا
بن کے اوج بندگی تمہاری کربلا حسین
بن کے اوج بندگی تمہاری کربلا حسین دے رہی ہے روشنی تمہاری کربلا حسین بانٹتی ہے زندگی تمہاری کربلا حسین
خدا کرے کہ رہنا سہنا خدا کرے کہ جینا مرنا خدا کرے کہ رہنا سہنا خدا کرے کہ جینا مرنا حسین راہ پہ ہو میرا حسین راہ پہ ہو میرا
اے شہید تشنہ لب عزیز فاطمہ اے شہید تشنہ لب
For you Hussein my every pain is a means of comforting my heart in your love In your name, I'll give everything, I'll do my part. If my head goes on a spear, still I'll keep calling you from my heart. You are my everything, I'm coming to you, Hussein. You are my everything, I'm coming to you, Hussein. Ya Safinat al-Naja, 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 I'm coming to you, Hussein. أنت عين الحياة, I'm coming to you, Hussein. أنت عين الحياة, I'm coming to you, Hussein. Oh Lord, I have only one hope. Oh Lord, I have only one hope. I wanna see his holy doom. I can't live without Arba'een. I will die if I don't get home.
Ay Shaheed Tishnala, Aziz Fatima.